Hello, everybody. Sean Zalmanoff here with this edition of our Next Level Loan Officers podcast. Hey, friends, if you're listening right now and you haven't reviewed us yet, please do me a favor. If you listen on iTunes and Stitcher, whatever your favorite communication device is for your podcast, please go give us a five-star review. And those of you who have not plugged into Next Level yet, we have a special offer for you today. If you can go to $1 MSA, that is all spelled out, $1MSA.com, and you can get access to our Mortgage Success Academy for the low price of a $1 7-day trial. And now let's move on to our guests. So we have Keir Weimer here today. Keir, how are you?
I'm great, Sean. Glad to be here.
So Keir is a top producing real estate agent who has a road that he's traveled that that very few have. And the picture looks as bright as it does right now and continues to look in the future. You've had a few stumbling blocks, a few poor decisions along the way that led to some events in your life that without a doubt have shaped the man that you are right now. But man, introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us about yourself and will you share a little bit of your story with us too?
Sure, Sean. Yeah, thank you for the introduction. And again, grateful and happy to be here and help to serve your audience and inspire and motivate and hopefully connect and leave some value. So yeah, my story is a non-traditional one. It's a unique one. It's one filled with tragedy and adversity and redemption and growth and hope. And I'll start maybe back where things completely changed forever, which was my senior year of college. I was at Syracuse University studying finance and economics. I went that summer up to a lake up in upstate New York where I'm from with some friends, my brother and about six of us total. We had spent the evening celebrating, having some fun at a local restaurant, listening to some live music, had been drinking, and I made the fateful and horrible decision to drive us all home on the boat at night after it had been raining and it was poor visibility and I had been drinking. We got into an accident and my friend was killed. All my other friends were seriously injured. And it was the most horrific scene and outcome from what we thought was an innocent night of having fun, kids in college, to tragedy and lives changed forever. As a result of that, I was charged with a number of crimes at 23 years old, including vehicular manslaughter, among other things. And I ended up ultimately serving 3.5 years in New York State prison in my 20s. My 20s were filled with, again, a carefree lifestyle, thinking this could never happen to us and to me and my friends, to tragedy, to dealing with the pain and remorse and guilt surrounding being responsible for something so serious and irreversible. To finding a way to live and survive in one of the most difficult climates and atmospheres to do so, which is prison and corrections, to finding a way to then integrate back into society at 29 when I was released, being on parole and facing a new set of challenges and obstacles and finding a way to live. How did I do that? How did I develop that mindset, that plan, that way of living, and that approach to life was something that I want to touch on today to show a plan and an example of what the human spirit and the human mind is capable of when faced with adversity, if we make the choice to live better, to live freely, to live more intentionally, and to be purposeful in going after our vision for our lives, right, and our dreams. So, you know, without going into too much detail about what happened, suffice it to say, again, it was the worst possible outcome from an innocent evening. The fork that I was faced with was this, right? I could choose to let this horrible tragedy claim two lives and go down the path of continuing to make excuses, living a lifestyle that was carefree and problematic and developing a worsening relationship like I had with alcohol that led me to do things that I normally wouldn't do. Luckily, I chose the other fork of the road, which was this: take responsibility for my actions and what happened, find a way to get better and heal from the pain and what had happened as a result, admit that I had an alcohol problem and create a new vision, something greater for my life that was beyond my own ambitions. And for me, that was living a purposeful life, clean and sober, where I could have the most impact in this world on helping inspire others to live freely and fully. So that's what I did. I started by addressing my routines and habits when I was away, getting really healthy in mind, body, spirit, reading over 250 books, authoring my first book, staying in contact with people that were important to me, really developing an ironclad way of living that when I was released, I could hit the ground running. And that's kind of what I did. I encountered a number of different obstacles. You can imagine getting out, being on parole, stuck at home, broke, no money, being, you know, drug tested, curfew, no license, no job, no prospects. And
so my first easy to get a
big
job
hurdle
when you haven't been in society for 5 years and you're on parole for a pretty serious crime.
Very difficult, Sean. Like, to be honest, almost impossible. You know, you're talking contracting work, you know, some odd jobs here and there. For me, I had a big vision for what I wanted to do with my life after. And I thought the way to do that and execute that was to go back to school, right? Go back to academia, go to a place where I could grow my mind, right? I could gain credibility. I could reconnect with knowledge and education. So I applied to like six different graduate schools to do a JD MBA, a joint law and business degree. And that summer of 2012, I sat and I read the last of six rejection letters. Not one school gave me a chance. Not one admissions committee, not one person wanted to take a chance on me and give me some hope. So that was a huge wall, right? Another big door shut in my face. But the beauty of doors that shut in our face is that it's often opening another door, if we're willing to look at it that way and get creative, to a whole new path that can be so much more fruitful. So for me, that door that shut in my face to the traditional route of where I thought I was going to go to get reestablished and reintegrate in society was I had a moment of clarity and I said, wow, I have to be an entrepreneur. I have to go out and create my own destiny, right? I have to go create businesses, concepts, and teams and put myself around people that will judge me and give me a chance for who I am today, not who I was when I made a horrible decision at 23. So at that point, I decided, okay, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I studied, you know, finance and economics and entrepreneurship in college. I've never had a job in this space. It's full of risk and uncertainty. What could I do that I like to do that I have some skill in? I said, well, I've always thought of real estate. I think that's relatively easy to get licensed. I could just start there and work my way up and get into maybe investment and development and diversify from there. And that's what I did. So I started, I got my test that summer, I think 2012, entered the business early 2013. And then I encountered the next big wall, right? Because on the hero's journey, so to speak, on anybody's journey through life, you're tested, right? You're confronted with obstacles and walls, and it's that this greater force in the world trying to see how we're going to respond, right? Because a lot of things in life we can't necessarily dictate or control, but we can choose how we respond and react to them. So for me, that next big wall was this, was going my first 12 months in this new business, 100% commission business, as a lot of your audience can relate to, and being in mortgage sales, is I went 12 months with not one sale, not $1 of income, and over $40,000 in debt on credit cards and family loan. It was like a ton of bricks just hit me in the face again. And Sean, I didn't know what to do, man. Family was pressuring me, go get a real job. I couldn't because I was on parole. I was so down on myself and I kept getting discouraged and it was really affecting my mindset, right? And my confidence in myself. But again, I thought and I mustered the strength from within. I said, you know what? I've been in tougher situations. I've been in worse circumstances. Take what you learned there, the system you created to break free from that wall, and implement that here. And that's what I did. I put my head down. I kept doing what was working. I developed one key skill in this business, which is know how to list high-end luxury properties, probably one of the hardest skills to do. And that was, you know, I built a portfolio of like $30 million in high-end listings my first year, which formed the foundation that catapulted my entire career after that. And this was a kid that was on parole with no sales experience, knocking on doors in the trenches, trying to get people to listen to him in the very town where this accident happened. And, you know, they gave me a chance. They wanted to see if I really meant what I said. They wanted to see if my actions spoke louder than my words about turning my life around. And that 13th month, the first property sold, and then the next one sold, and it was off to the races. That second year, you know, we sold almost $10 million in real estate, and I was number one of my company shortly thereafter out of about 80 agents in about 30 counties. And my business and practice grew and doubled and scaled. And, you know, 2 years later in 2015, I formed a team, and it was just kind of the rest was history.
So it's interesting from what I'm hearing because, you know, first of all, do you call your parents every day and tell them how much you love them? And I mean,
every day,
just for how lucky you were that you had a place to go back to, that, you know, people who loved you and, you know, forgave you and were able to see
supported me.
What great potential you still had, and they wanted you to succeed. And it's also interesting because, you know, excuse me, as you were, you know, as you're struggling and people are like, get a real job, like, because of all the crap that happened, not being able to get a real job is actually, we say real job. It's always funny when people talk about what we do.
I know.
Not real jobs. 19 years later, it's still a real job for me. I'm still figuring. Yeah. it ended up being one of the catapults or one of the things that made you have to have the fortitude to stick on the path.
Exactly. And that was to my point, like I mentioned earlier, you know, those things, those opportunities, those doors that close can sometimes be the best thing that's ever happened to us, right? Blessings in disguise, so to speak. Yeah. But it's how we choose to view them, right? Because a lot of people will view them traditionally and get down and out, discouraged, and maybe go a different way and give up on themselves and their vision. And I just refuse to do that.
So in mortgage and real estate, we speak the same language when we talk about team building, and especially what we talk about it at Next Level, whether, you know, you're just listening to our podcast, you're plugged into our coaching. I mean, you just cannot do it without a team. Some people can close 5 transactions a month. Some people can close 10 transactions a month, but there's just a point where, you know, what's it worth? What is that next dollar worth? And how much of your time are you willing to spend doing it? And also,
yeah,
how much time are you spending doing $15 or $20 an hour activities, which are incredibly important to get done in your business. But
yeah,
if you can do $200 and $300 an hour activities, you're costing yourself a metric crap ton of money by not doing those high dollar an hour activities. So as you started to build your team, so what, year two, year three, you started to build the team?
Yeah, so I was 2 years as a sole agent, and then the beginning of the third year, I started the team.
So what did that look like for you, and what's it morphed into now several years later?
Sure. So in the beginning, it was just I had an overwhelming influx of business, right? And that's why we form a team generally as a top producer, is we just need help. You know, we need to scale our brand, and we need to provide a way to service clients without reducing our attention to detail or client service and our marketing results by having just too much business. So for me, it was an extension of my brand. I wanted to provide also a culture and a climate where other young agents could grow and build their name. So we started that, and it was focused on, again, extending my brand. I've always been about building a strong personal brand that is supported by the company you choose to affiliate with. I'm a big believer that people buy relationships and people over brands and companies. So for me, especially in this business too, as we know, a client service centric business, it's really important that we focus on building that personal brand that can be supported and enhanced by whatever organization we choose to affiliate with. So for me, that team brand, the eponymous Keir Weimer team, my name was important to me, especially because I was so image conscious with what had happened in my past. That was just a Google search away, that I really put a lot of effort and diligence and intention into everything from design, aesthetic, to how we were perceived, to our social channels, to the marketing messaging, to how we were carrying out client service. So it was very systems-based, creating a platform and a visible brand that could be disseminated, communicated, and related with in our market with our ideal clients.
Yeah, so loan officers, realtors, other friends listening to this right now, we talk about this a lot inside of our coaching platform, inside of our huddle groups, with building your brand. And if your company doesn't support you building a brand, that they don't support you, because you have to have some different identity. Yep. Like in the perfect world, all my loan officers sitting outside my office and the other offices that I run are going to be with me for the next 20 years. Well, this isn't a perfect world. I don't live in a vacuum, and I know that's not going to happen. It's my job as a manager, my job as a coach at Next Level, to make sure that I provide the most value that I can, allowing people to retain their identity and their teams, because that's what they need. I mean, you know, we talk about it all the time in the mortgage side. There's only one brand in the market right now, and to have an app that we all have, and they do the same loan products that we all have, but they spend more money on Super Bowl ads, and they do a really great job of engaging the consumer first. And no matter how great our companies are, as an individual, you know, when a company needs to move a needle, especially that one, we won't mention their name. I mean, they've got to do 500, 1,000 more loans a month. Man, for almost all of us, if we do 3 or 5 more loans a month, I mean, that's a needle mover. That's paying for a kid's college. That's buying a vacation home. That's setting you up for retirement. And having a brand can do that, right?
Yeah, it's strong. It can. And having a brand has so many other collateral benefits. And it also allows us to start to build a practice based on attraction, not promotion, right? And I think that's critical, meaning attracting our ideal client, people we want to work with, because they see the expertise, they see our knowledge, they see our positioning, they see the content we're putting out, they see our service and results, so they contact us. I've never operated my brand and practice where I'm chasing down people and I'm that eighth realtor that's called at 8 a.m. on an expired or a FSBO lead. You know, that's a pillar and a part of our business early on, and it still remains to be, but we've outsourced that and moved away from it. We're all about creating a brand that attracts a lot of inbound leads, which seven or eight out of 10 of our prospects now that turn into clients are inbound leads, people that want to work with me, the team, that see us on social media, that see us in print advertising, referral, recommendation, past client, somebody in my sphere or network. That's a way to build a durable practice and brand, I think.
And the great thing is when you have people calling you to do business, you have the right people that call you. And you know what? You're going to repel some people. And that's great too, because Number one thing you have to realize when you're repelling somebody is they were never your client anyway. It was going to be a bad transaction. It was going to be a total pain in the butt, and or You were going to get ready to sign some paperwork, whether it's to list their house, to help them buy a house, or to do their mortgage for them. And then, oh man, well, this other person was 75 cents cheaper. So I'm going with them. And
yeah,
not the needle mover.
You're right.
Went inside of our business. So Kier, So you built this team. I know you've got some other development and some other things that you've been doing too, but you know, at the point that you're at now, I'm sure yourself, your buyer's agents, you know, they've got loan officers reaching out to them pretty much on a daily basis, maybe because business is so busy right now. It's slowed down a little bit for you all. But man, loan officers have the same scripts. Hey, like, I hear you're great, and great if you referred me all your business too. The partners that you choose, and or if somebody's picking up the phone and like, what do they need to do to engage you, and how does somebody break into your team to be able to work together as a partner and get business with you?
Yep, great question, Sean. So a couple of things I think could be really tactical takeaways for your audience are what I'm about to share. One is you really need to know your audience, know the person you're looking to partner with, and know what they stand for, know their values, know what motivates and inspires them, right? If somebody doesn't know that, hasn't done the work and the research to simply like literally just look at my websites, my bio, speak to something that is important to me, like a hobby, like I was just skiing this past week, I'm a huge skier, I'm, you know, going out to Colorado in a week, like build rapport and show that you've done some research and diligence, and then speak to like my brand and what I stand for. If that can't happen, it's not done. It's almost immediately a turnoff, because I know that if they're not putting the time into that, which is arguably their most important phone call and outreach to build a partnership, how are they going to be treating clients? How are they going to be treating people that we refer over that are really, really, you know, high end, special, white glove service expectant clients? I need to make sure that that's intact, because that's my brand too, right? Anybody I refer, or say as a partner in business or an affiliate, needs to stand for the same values, right? Needs to deliver the same type of service, needs to deliver comparable and similar results. I mean, especially in our business, because our niche is really high-end luxury real estate. You know, these are, you know, multi-million dollar properties. We just actually moved my brokerage team from where I've been my whole career at Sotheby's International Realty over to Engel & Völkers, which is a fast-growing brokerage out of Europe. And it allows us to offer different services now for our high-end clientele in private aviation, yacht brokerage, development, investment, capital raising, and all these other areas I couldn't before. I want to develop strategic partnerships with people that can speak, service and understand that clientele. So that's not going to be every loan officer, but certainly even an aspiring one that wants to work in higher price point markets, I'm willing to talk with them and have a conversation and see if we could do business down the road. But remember, understand what motivates me in this case, right? What my values are, speak to those, and then also come with value, right? We always learn this in networking and in business. Seek first to understand and deliver value before you ask. So, you know, don't call me up or send an email and ask for my business. Like, find a way where you can serve me and my clients and add value, whether it be a free seminar or a great newsletter that's actually really well written, or something else, before you ask me to do something for you. That will resonate with me.
So one of the things that we discuss all the time is, you know, the easiest way, I mean, social media makes it so much easier to develop relationships. You know, most loan offices are friends with 100, 200, 700 realtors on Facebook. And talking about, I love to ski as well too. Just got my Epic Pass in the mail the
other day. Love it.
You know, you have access to find out so much information about people. But then people leave it all online. And one thing that you have to remember as loan officers, as anybody, but you have to take the online offline. And the cool thing is, you know, like, I mean, I'm 41 years old. I got a couple small kids. Like, I do dad things and I do sports things. And so I go and find men and women in the real estate community that kind of do the same stuff I do. And those are the people that I target because we got a lot of stuff in common. And, you know, we don't go out on Saturday nights anymore, but, you know, we can come over at 5 o'clock and barbecue and our kids can hang out and, you know, to beat each other up while we can have fun and just not have to worry about it. And so those are the kind of things, like, you know, I know who the ideal loan officers I want to work with. I know who the ideal coaching clients are, and I know the ideal realtors that we want. And I'm cool with repelling everybody else. Like, it's just, it's not who I am. But then the relationship that we build is different. You're not just as good as your last deal, or I just didn't happen to call Keir on the day when you had a deal fall apart and like, well, shoot, man, I'll give it to you just because, like, I got no other options and it was good timing.
I totally agree with that, Sean.
So you got some, you said, so you got one book. You got another book that you're about to release here too, don't you?
Yeah, we do, Sean. We're actually releasing, I'm really excited about this. It's called Live Inspired, 5-Minute Intentions to Energize Your Life and Career. And that's coming out the end of January, right on the heels of the new year. So it's a great time to really take control of not just this, you know, trite New Year's resolution thing, but actually creating a plan and a vision for your life for 2020. And more importantly, guys, remember, the new decade starts in less than 3 weeks. Literally a brand new decade, a wide open horizon, a 10-year block, where we could just completely change the trajectory of our life, and more importantly, our legacy, right? What we leave for our kids, our heirs, our communities, people that we care about. That's the chance we have right now, and this book is positioned to help people really do that in addressing all areas of your life, from mindset and habits to better relationships to leadership to, you know, business and entrepreneurship, all of these things that I've learned and been, again, I'm a function of the influences in my life, right? So I follow a lot of personal development, thought leaders, people, mentors in the business. So I'm just a function of my community, right? And our network that's influenced us. But I've taken all of these and distilled them down into, I think there's 65 short readings, 5-minute readings, 2 to 3 minutes, or 2 to 3 pages, about 5 minutes or so. And you can do this in the beginning of your morning. You could do it weekly. But it's really, it's an interesting project. I'm really excited about it. And yeah, I'd love to share more with you. So, you know, hopefully it could help some of your audience too.
Yeah. So I know it's not out yet, but as you know, it'll just be, by the time people are listening to this, it'll be just a few weeks away. If they were going to go somewhere and buy it, do you have a website or somewhere that they can click through to find it?
Yeah. And there's a ton of free bonuses, guys, that we're offering as a part of it. A small video course, which will show you how to best implement these practices to get the maximum results, PDF workbook, and a few other things. So the best would be to probably go to my website, which is keirweimer.com, KEIRWEIMER.com. There's just a menu there, subpage for book, or you could go to liveinspiredbook.com.
Awesome. We appreciate you today, Keir. Thank you very much for joining us. So, loan officers.
Of course. Thank you, Sean, for having me.
Yeah, well, definitely. It's been a good conversation. Loan officers, if you want to find out more of where you can come check out Next Level, if you're ready to take 2020 by charge, you can go to loanofficerevents.com and see where we're going to be next year. Don't wait for us to come to you. Come to us. And for you branch managers, for you brokers out there that are looking to retain your people, looking to grow, looking to recruit, looking how to build a brand within your brand, because, you know, like, as a loan officer, we need a brand, but and as a manager, I need a brand too. I need people to know what they're getting when they work with me, so I have the right people that are working with me. We are having our first ever Branch Manager Summit in Las Vegas in the middle of January. So you'll find details on that page, loanofficerevents.com. And as always, to get this podcast, to get other podcasts and a bunch of other free information that we have, if you text the words Next Level, the 36260, you can download our app and get a bunch of info there for you. Friends, we appreciate you. Kier, I definitely appreciate you today. Thanks so much for sharing your story and the insight on what people can do to just be better in their lives and be better in their careers too.
Of course. Thank you, Sean. And thanks everybody for listening. And I just wish you the best in all of your endeavors, and really take this next year, this next decade seriously. Because there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Man, this next decade, wow. Another one ahead of us. I know. Y'all have a great day, and we appreciate y'all.